Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros, Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We turn to the top line of Daf Mem Zayin. Before learning the Gemara, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the marked Gemara that appears on your screen. The cornerstone of the Gemara marking system, we feature the topic heading and structural note from time to time under the heading Nosei, referring to topic, and Mivneh, referring to structure. In this instance, we have combined the two into one note, and in the outside margin, you notice the Nosei Mivneh heading. We have written, Hoyu lo bonim biyoso ove kichovim v'nizgayer. We're going to describe a person that had children when he was still a Gentile, and then converted. Mahu legabi, now you'll notice this marking, this volcano shape, it is around the expression in the Gemara Itmar, which introduces two topics. One is nachlo, issues of inheritance, and that is a reference to those that are born after the conversion, and pru uravu is the second topic. Ha'im kiyem pru uravu, has he fulfilled the mitzvah of procreation through the children that he had while he was still a Gentile? So the two issues are a man who had converted, but prior to his conversion he had children. What is the law regarding nachla with regard to the children that he has after his conversion? And what is the law regarding pru uravu? Has he fulfilled pru uravu with regard to the children that he had before? And we will see a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan machshiv habonim shohayu lo begiyuso. Rabbi Yochanan places a premium or significance to those children that he had while still a Gentile. Reish Lakish eino machshivam. Reish Lakish does not place any significance on those children that he had while he was still a Gentile vis-a-vis these halachas. As we will see in the Gemara, Reish Lakish says that a person who converts is considered like a new individual, a newborn individual, so his past history won't have any legal significance. Turning now to the Gemara, the top line, Itmar, Hoyu lo bonim biyoso oive kechavim v'nizgayer. A person had children while he was a Gentile and then converted. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein loy b'chor l'nachlo. The first son that he has after converting will not be considered a firstborn with regard to the halacha of receiving a double portion. Double portion is something that is characteristic of a standard firstborn male child. He receives a double amount in an inheritance, twice as much as any one other given brother. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omer Yesh lo b'chor l'nachlo. Reish Lakish says that the firstborn male that he has after his conversion will receive a double portion. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, and now the Gemara goes over these shitos with an explanation. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein lo b'chor l'nachlo, the first child he has after his conversion won't receive a double portion. This person already experienced his Reishis Ono. And we've explained before that Reishis Ono is an expression referring to the child over whom the father would feel remorse and grief if it were to die. So he has already had that experience in the sense of having children that would have brought him to that state. Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish Omer, Yesh lo b'chor l'nachla. This convert will have a son that's capable of receiving a double portion. Gershin is gayer ki kotan shenola domi. This father, this convert, is like a newborn, so that whatever children he had before is off the record, so to speak, or it's not part of his current history, because after the conversion, this father is like a new person. So the first male child that he has afterwards will be his firstborn. The ozdu l'tamayu, and we find that Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish ozdu, they go l'tamayu according to their previously stated opinions elsewhere. The itmar hoyu lo bona biyoso ovet yuchavim v'nizgayer. Once again, the same scenario: a person who had children while he was still a Gentile and then converted. Rav Yochanan Omar kiyem piriyah v'ribyah. Those children that he had while he was still a Gentile enable him to fulfill the commandment of procreation. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omar lo kiyem. And Rav Shimon ben Lakish says that he has not fulfilled the mitzvah through those children that he had prior. Rav Yochanan Omar kiyem. How has he fulfilled it? Well, the pasuk says, "Lo sohu v'ra, lo sheves yitzara." The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, did not create the world to be tohu, to be empty, to be void. Rather, lo sheves for habitation, or for inhabitants, he created the world. In other words, this person produced children that inhabit the world. So he's fulfilled the divine expectation through the children that he had prior to his conversion. Reb Shimon Shomar lo kiyem priyaviribya. This person, this convert, has not fulfilled priyaviribya through the children they had prior. Gershin is gayer kikotan shenola domi. A convert is like a newborn individual. So he has no, after his conversion, whatever previous life he had is of no legal significance for our purposes. He is considered like a newborn, so he still has to fulfill procreation. So we have two topics: the issue of what effect his children had with regard to the laws of inheritance, and what effect the children he had prior to his conversion have with respect to the rules concerning period of Arabia. Now, in theory, one could have said, just present one of these topics, and I would see the respective attitudes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding to the children born to this person prior to the conversion. I would be able then to figure out what they would hold regarding the other topic. And yet, they had to state their opinions in both cases, both the case of Nachla and the case of Pruravu. And the Gemara here says, Utsricha. I need them to have made their point in both topics. And in many Gemaras, when you have Utsrichusa, we, in our markings, like to point out the length of this discussion, and we do that with a long point marking. So you can see, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, an encircled nun with a vertical dashed descending line, indicating that all of these lines explain the need for Rabbi Yochanan and Shulkish having stated their opinions in both of these topics. So the Gemara continues, De'i itmar bikom ma'isa. Had we had the machlokis Rabbi Yochanan and Shulkish stated in the first case, the Nachla story, the ha komer of Shimon Lakish, it might be that only there Reish Lakish said the halacha of that the subsequent birth after his conversion, there will be the din of firstborn. Mishum debioso ove kichavim lav b'nei nachloninu. That as a Gentile, the children that he had have no status with regard to inheritance, with regard to a person who has converted. They're not b'nei nachla. They're not connected to the topic or to the issue of inheritance. The Rashi at the very top line says, there's a written in Dibur HaMaschil, the Begyusa Lav B'nei Nachlo, Enon B'nei Nachlo, Li Rashi Saviyim, Oivik V'chovim, Achar Shinizgairu, that the children that he had prior to the conversion are not connected at all to inheritance, to inherit their father that is now a convert. So it could be that only in that case, and that's under those circumstances, Reish Lakish says that we don't look at what he had beforehand. Avol, Beha, in the case of, the Gemara continues, in the case of Pru'urahu, procreation, Emo, Mode, Le, L'Rabbi Yochanan, maybe Reish Lakish would concede to Rabbi Yochanan, Delo, Sohu, Vera, L'Sheves, Yitzara, Veha, Avad, Le, Sheves. The Pasuk says that the Almighty created the world to be inhabited. And after all is said and done, this person who converted, he is a person who has contributed to the habitation of the world through the children that he had prior to the conversion. So in having stated the position of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish by Nachlo, I wouldn't have known what Reish Lakish really holds with regard to Puruvu. It could be that regarding that topic, Reish Lakish would concede to Rabbi Yochanan that he has already fulfilled Puruvu, and after his conversion, he doesn't need to bear any more children. The Itmar Baha, had the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish been stated with regard to procreation, Baha, Koram Rabbi Yochanan, it could be that only here Rabbi Yochanan says that he has already fulfilled his obligation because of what he said, Lo so v'ral l'sheves yitzara, Avol Baha, in the case of Nachla, Emo, Modele, L'Rav Shimon Lakish. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would have conceded to Reish Lakish based on the idea that they are not B'nai Nachla. The children that they had beforehand aren't connected to the laws of Nachla, as Reish Lakish articulated. Well, Sricho, therefore, it's necessary to have Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish state their opinions in both cases. You notice at the outside margin we have a mivneh, a structural note that features diamonds. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a couple of these markings. They are indicative of kushios al Rabbi Yochanan. They signify questions that the Gemara will ask on Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. So we start with this first question. You'll notice it's a long question. We have a kufitz and circle to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating that it takes up a number of lines. Tanan. We have a quote from our Mishnah. Mi shelo hoyu lo bonim. A person who had no children. Venosa isha shikvar yolda. And married a woman that already had born children. Oida Shivcha Vinishtachro, Oida Oivedis Kilchevim in his Gaira. She bore children as a maidservant and then was freed. Or she bore children as an idol worshipper and then converted. Umishibosa the Israel Yolda. And after her entrance to the Jewish fold, she bore more children. B'chor l'nachlo v'eino b'chor l'koyin. So the children that she has after her conversion, the firstborn, if it's a male, will be a b'chor for receiving a double portion, but he won't be considered a b'chor with regard to the need for redemption of firstborn through the payment of 5 sloim to a koyin. Yolda miman. In the source, it said that she after conversion, she bore children. from whom? Who was the husband? Who mated with her? If you're to suggest that she married, after her conversion, a Jew that had no children of his own, well then, my iria giyuras v'shivcha. Why does the Mishnah feature a giyuras, a convert, or a maidservant? If we're trying to illustrate a case of a b'chor l'nachla v'lo l'koyein, of a firstborn with regard to inheritance laws only, and not with regard to and to the exclusion of being b'chor with regard to pidyon haben, why feature the unusual women, namely the convert and the shivcha? Afilu bas Yisrael nami, even a regular Jewish woman, the firstborn that this man has with her, if you're talking about Yisrael Shelohayu Lobanim, the firstborn that he has will be a Bechor with regard to inheritance. He will receive a double portion of his father's estate. Elo Lav. So, since the Mishnah features the examples of Shivcha and Ovedes Kechavim, it must be Miger Shehoyu Lo Bonim Venezgayer, that she's having children after her conversion with a man who also happens to be a convert that happened to have children prior to his conversion. The Kotani, and the source says, Bechor Lenachla, that the child that this woman has with this man that happened to be a convert that also happened to have children prior to his conversion, the Kotani Bechor Lenachla, it says that the offspring will be a firstborn with regard to the laws of inheritance. So here you have a case of someone who converts, who happened to have children prior to his conversion, and the first child that he has after the conversion will be a Bechor Lenachla. And that's not like Rabbi Yochanan. That's a Kashan Rabbi Yochanan. Loi, li'oilam mi'Yisrael shelo hoyu lo bonim. The source is talking about the shivcha or the giores that mates with a Jew, a man, a regular rank and file Jew that had no children of his own. V'eino b'chor l'koyin istirichole. And the chidush of the source is regarding the laws of redemption, that the first son that this man has will not be a Bechor regarding redemption. In other words, no need for Pidyon HaBen. Now, and that's what this Mishnah is necessary for. That as far as the halacha of Bechor L'Nachla is concerned, that is obvious. However, regarding this halacha of his being a Bechor, as being not considered a Bechor with regard to redemption, I need the Mishnah for that purpose. Lafuke mit Rabbi Yossi Aglili, to the exclusion of Rabbi Yossi's approach, the Omar Bechor Lenachla U Lekayhein, that this firstborn, and we're talking about a Shivcha or a Giores, that mates with the Yisrael Shelo Hoyu Lo Bonim, and her first son that she has with this man after her conversion, our Mishnah says will not need redemption. And this is to the exclusion of Rabbi Yosei Glili that says that this child is a Bechor not only with regard to Nachla, because after all the man didn't have any of his own children, but also with regard to redemption from the mother's standpoint, Shinemar Peta Rechem Bi Yisrael, which means Ad She Yifteru Rechem Mi Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that the din of firstborn with regard to redemption is a din that affects a womb that has its first child born when Jewish. So that, as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglieli is concerned, the woman who converted, though she had her own children prior to her conversion, the first child she has after her conversion is considered a firstborn, because this is a peter rechem b'Yisrael. And therefore, komash malon delo, I need this Mishnah to tell us not like Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, namely, it may be a b'chor l'nachla, but it's not a b'chor l'koyhin. Toshma, after having rejected the kasha just before, the kasha would have come from establishing the Mishnah as talking about a ger that had children prior. We said no, it's really talking about a case of Yisrael shelo hayu lo bonim. We want to focus right now on the issue of a ger that had children prior to his conversion and see what the halachas are regarding Nachla and Puruvu. Toshma hoyu lo bonim biyoso ove kuchavim. The diamond indicates, once again, we'll be asking a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So we have a source that says he had a man who had children while he was a Gentile. Finiskayer, he then converted. Yesh loy b'chor l'nachla. That is a very open contradiction, if you will, to Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that a person who had children while still a Gentile, after his conversion, there is no din, no halacha of firstborn receiving double portion. Once again, the child born after his conversion won't receive double portion, and here it says he will. Omar Ravina vitemo Rav Acha, ho vadai Rav Yossi Aglieli hi. This source is definitely according to the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglieli, and hence it doesn't represent a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan will simply tell you, I don't conform to Rabbi Yossi Aglieli's approach to things. I said my opinion within the context of the Rabbonon's opinion, the Chachomim opinion, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi Aglieli. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, he says that a man that happened to have children prior to his conversion, the first child that he has after his conversion, if it's a male, will receive a double portion. And how does Rabbi Yossi Aglieli come to this conclusion? Well, the Gemara explains, this conforms to Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, Diomar Peter Rechem Bisrael, with regard to the law of redemption, Ad Shiifturu Rechem Misrael, that a firstborn from a woman after her conversion is considered the first to emerge from her womb as a Jewess. V'yolif Ihu Mino Dido, and Rabbi Yossi Aglieli compares the Ihu is a reference to the husband, the man who is responsible for the laws of inheritance. So he learns the laws of Nachla from Mino Dido, from the laws of redemption, which is a woman-focused law, because it's a law based on Peter Rechem, the first to emerge from a womb. So Rabbi Yossi Aglieli says, just like the first child born to the woman after her conversion has a din of Bechor with regard to Pidyon HaBen, so to the first born child born to a man after his conversion will be considered a firstborn with regard to the dinim of Nachla. But as we said before, this is all fine and good within the Shita, within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglieli. But Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say his halacha within the context of that Tanaic opinion. Rabbi Yochanan, who is an Amora, said his halacha within the context of the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglieli. And hence, it may be true that with regard to a converted woman, she will have a din of firstborn with regard to redemption. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, well, let us backtrack here and simply say that the Chachamim don't follow Rabbi Yossi Haglili's approach to reaching conclusions regarding children born after conversion. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. You can see in the outside margin the Nosei. Leviah Shiyolda, a woman whose father was a Levi, and she bears a child, Bina Potur Michamisha Sloim. There is no need to redeem this child, the child born to a woman who is from Shevet Levi. HaGemara Tasuk Levarer, the Gemara will be involved trying to clarify, Mimi Nisabra, from whom did she become pregnant, Shebiglal Shehi Levia Bina Potter, that the exemption from redemption is only because she happens to be from the Shevet Levi. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice that in addition to the firebox around Rav Ada Bar Ava, and the reason for this firebox, even though in Gemara markings we usually use a firebox for shitos that occupy the Gemara for at least an omid, in this case the discussion is very intense and we have a lot of other markings, so in order to help Rav Ada Bar Ava stand out, and you will see in the course of the Gemara a need for his name to stand out, we chose to use a firebox in a way that we usually don't use it. Our hope is that you will appreciate its use in this particular sugya when we finish with the Gemara. In addition, we have under our Mivneh heading, the featured double underline. These are Shlavim, Levarer Mimi Nis Abra. Stages that the Gemara goes through in order to determine this issue. From whom did she become pregnant in order for Rav Ados Din to have pertinence? In the course of the Gemara, you'll notice house markings around Rav Papa and Mor Berei Rav Yosef. This is featured also under our Mivneh heading, and we've indicated, in addition to the names, Simun Ze, this marking Mu'ad L'Hakel B'Emshech B'Chipus Hadeos. Later in the Gemara, there will be references made back to the names Rav Papa and Mor Berei Rav Yosef. So in order to make it easier to find them, we've used this marking and not spend valuable time in trying to find where their names appeared. So now we, as far as the Gemara is concerned, Rav Ada Bar Ava says his point. After the Gemara presents opinions of who the man was that married the Leviah, that mated with Leviah, that resulted in an exemption for the need for redeeming him, the Gemara then will ask, on the third wide line of the Gemara, you notice a long question marking that begins to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara will raise a question. It's a long and rather involved question, but it turns out to be a kasha. It'll be a kasha on Rav Papa's approach. Rav Papa, who you see in a house form, who offers his explanation for Rav Ada Bar Ava, his explanation will come under a challenge from the Gemara. When we get there, we'll explain a little more. So now that you have a rather general overview of the sugya, let's go into the Gemara itself. Omar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Levia Shiyolda, a woman who's from Shevet Levi, or her father is a Levi, and she gave birth, Bina Potter Me Chamisha Slaim. Her firstborn male child will be exempt from the need to have him redeemed, which involves the payment of 5 sloim. Sloim is a name of a coin. 5 of them, 5 pieces of silver sloim given to a coin. Diaber Miman. We want to know who is the one that impregnated her. Ilema Diaber Mikoyin Umi Levi. If you were to suggest that her mate was a Kohen or a Levi, my Irya Levia, why does Rav Ada feature the case of a Levia as being exempt? A Filu Yisrael Lisnami, even a woman who has no connection to the tribe of Levi would be exempt from a need for redemption of her child, because the father himself is from Shevet Levi. And being that he is from Shevet Levi, so it's obvious that there is no need for redemption. After all, the Shevet Levi in the Torah, they were the ones that replaced the firstborn in the role of serving as serving in the Beis Hamikdash. Elo, the Aber Miyisrael. It must be that she, the Bas Levi, became impregnated from a non-Levi. And that is why there is exemption, exemption from redemption. The Gemara says, no, that can't be the case, because the Pasuk says, L'mishpachoysom leveis avoysom ksiv, that when it comes to defining your tribal identity, we look at the father's identity. You can see we've dashed underline beis avoysom. So if the father happens to be Israel, the child won't be identified as a Levite, and as such, he will need to be redeemed. Let's just caution that sometimes when going through sugyas, we encounter opinions that are not necessarily the halacha lemaisa, but at this point in the Gemara, this is what's being stated, realizing this is not a final opinion. But in the meantime, to suggest that Rav Ada was speaking about a Bas Levi that made it with Israel and that results in a redemption from exemption, that just can't be. Omar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa offers his opinion. The Aber Me'oved Kichovim, she was impregnated by a Gentile. Velo Temo Aliba Deman De Omar Ein Mizamin Esaflad. And don't think for a second that Rav Ada's halacha is restricted to the opinion that says a Jewish woman who bears children with a Gentile, that the Gentile father has no effect with regard to the identity of the son, and we would go exclusively according to the mother, and therefore it's clear that the offspring is identified with the tribe of Levi, and he would therefore be Potter. Elo afilu lemandomar mizamin esavlad, even according to the opinion that the Gentile who mated with her and hence affects the vlad, mizamin has to do with something of a, we'll say, of a negative nature because of this issue of having a child with a non-Jew, but nevertheless, Levi Posel Mikri. He's called a disqualified Levi, a blemished Levi, so to speak, but he nevertheless doesn't lose his Levi association. So that Rav Papa is explaining that the Bas Levi in her having mated with an idol worshipper, the child, according to both of these opinions, is Levi associated. According to the first Mandomar cited here, Ein Mezaminus Avlad means that the Gentile has no effect, doesn't establish any identity in that offspring, so it's exclusively associated with its mother, and she happens to be a Bas Levi. But even according to the opinion that says Mizamin Esavlad, that the Gentile does have an effect, albeit a negative effect, on the offspring, nevertheless, Levi Pasul Mikri means the Vlad is still associated with his mother's identity, and she's from Shevet Levi, and hence we see that only because of her Levi status is there an exemption from the need for redemption. Mor Brei de Rav Yosef, Omar Mishmei de Rava, L'Oilam de Aber Miyisrael. This Leviah, was impregnated by Yisrael. And you'll ask, so then, well, why is he exempt? The shiny hasam, the case of the five sloyim, the redemption is the omar kro. The pasuk says peter rechem, the peter rechem tolol rachmona. That even though in general, when it comes to tribal association, we say lemishpachosam leves avosam, but in the case of the halacha of redemption of firstborn, it's something that's woman associated, woman focused, because the pasuk mentions the womb, the first to emerge from the womb is that which needs redemption. But here it's emerging from the womb of a woman that's from Shevet Levi, and as such, that results in an exemption. At this point, we have a topic heading, and we also mentioned earlier that this begins, this at this point, the Gemara, a long question begins. Under our topic heading, you can see we've actually used a little star to draw your attention to this topic heading, because we want to use this no say as an introduction to the question, and it's a rather elaborate question. We've written on the outside margin as follows. Nosei Hemshech. This isn't a new topic. This is a continuation. Li'el Ko'omar Rav Ada Bar Avo. It was stated by Rav Ada earlier. The Levia Shiyol Debeno Poter Michamisha Sloyim. The Levia that bore a child, is her firstborn, is exempt from the need for redemption. The Ko'omar Rav Papa, and in the course of the discussion, Rav Papa said, Dinis Abra Me'akum, that she was impregnated by a Gentile. Hagemara Mevio Mishnosenu, the Gemara will quote our Mishnah, Degam Bo Kotani, the Levia Vekehenes, Benon Pturin, that a Levia and Kehenes, their children are exempt from the need for redemption. The E Namid HaMishnah, the Aber Me'akum, Kirav Papa, if you set up the Mishnah, like Rav Papa set up Rav Ada, bearing in mind the Mishnah and Rav Ada address the same situation, and if you therefore set up the Mishnah like Rav Papa set up Rav Ada, lo yehei muvan lama kehenes b'na potter. The issue of the kehenes, why is her son exempt from the need for redemption? And if, what does it mean? What do we mean? What do we mean to set it up like Rav Papa? Well, just like Rav Papa set up Rav Ada as referring to a Gentile that impregnated the woman, the Levia, our Mishnah, which speaks about a Kehenes and a Levia, you would set up the same way, but in the case of the Kehenes is a woman who is whose father was a Kohen. Why is Bina Potter? The Gemara will explain the reason why we say that the son should not be exempt. And therefore, since we won't understand this the application of Iaber Me'akum when it comes to the son of the Kehenes, we likewise will bring into question the Levia and her Iaber Me'akum setup. This is, as we say, a long question, at the end of which we'll offer a new explanation for who impregnated the woman. When we say we'll offer a new explanation, we're going to have to offer an explanation to explain Rav Papa, to defend Rav Papa, and not run into challenging him from the case of Kohenes. So we'll see that the case of Kohenes is not like we thought, namely impregnated by Gentile. But as far as the case of Levia, that nevertheless can remain the same. The Gemara, Tanan. We quote, and we mention this is a quote from our Mishnah. Mi shehoyu lo bonim v'nosa isha shelo yolda. A man who happened to have children and married a woman who had none of her own children. Nizgayro mi'uberes. Or you have a case of a woman who converted together with her husband while she was pregnant. Nishtachro mi'uberes. Or a shivcha that was freed while pregnant. Yolda he v'kohenes. He ulavio. Or you have a case of two women, one of whom happens to be a Kohenes, or one of whom who happens to be a Levia, and we don't know which child is the Vlad of the Israel. So we have two children born. We'll call this a mix-up case. A woman, a Yisraelis, and a Kohenes, or a Yisraelis and a Levia. He, the Isha Shikvar Yalda, or a case of a woman bearing her first child, gives birth together with a woman who already had children. V'chein mi shelo shoas achri baylo shlosha chadashim v'nises v'yalda. And another case is a woman who left her first husband and remarried within 3 months. The Ein Yodua in Ben Tisha L'Rishon, and after her remarriage that she entered after a period of less than 3 months, she bore a child 7 months later, 7 months after her contact with the second man, and therefore we don't know in Ben Tisha L'Rishon, in Ben Shiva L'Achron, it's her first child, but we don't know if it's a 9 month pregnancy from the first husband, or it's a 7 month pregnancy with her new husband. But one thing is clear, it's her first child. B'chor l'koyim ve'eno b'chor l'nachlo. All of these examples will illustrate a firstborn with regard to the need for redemption, because it's the woman's firstborn. However, the child won't receive a double portion from his father, because in all of these cases we don't know who the father is. In the first couple cases with the Nisgaira and the Shtachra, so the father that impregnated her becomes disconnected altogether from the son, from this offspring. At this point we don't have to dwell on any further detail as in the Mishnah, with the exception of the fact that Kohenes and Levia were featured. They were featured in this mission. We dashed underline them. They were examples of women whose children would be exempt from redemption. And hence we had the mix-up between a woman whose child would need to be redeemed. She bore a child along with a woman who was either a Kohenes or Levia. Examples of women whose children don't need redemption. So, and therefore the Chiddush was that even though there's no Bechor L'Nachlo, there is nevertheless Bechor L'Kayin. Michlal, but we, for our purposes, we have to extract from this quote the following. De Kehuna, or Kehenes, De Kehenes, Ulevi Abturin. They represent examples of exemption. The question then is, the Abram Iman, the Kohenes and Levia, who impregnated them, that we say that their children will be exempt by virtue of the mother's status. If you'll say that a Kohen or Levi are the ones that impregnated the Kohenes and Levia, why does the Mishnah have to feature a case of a Kohenes or Levia? We can tell you something of a even greater chidush, greater novelty, and talk about a Bas Yisrael that was impregnated from a Kohen and Levi, and even though she represents this a tzad to say there's a chiyu pidyon haben, but from the father's standpoint there will be exemption. So we don't have to, we don't set up the case of Kehenes and Leviah as being impregnated from a Kohen and Levi. Elo, di aber mi oivet kechoven. Oh. This should look a little bit familiar to us. We're talking about a case of a Kehenes and Leviah that were impregnated through a Gentile. This, by the way, is what Rav Papa had said earlier with regard to the same point that happened to be mentioned by Rav Ada Bar Ava, that a Leviah that's impregnated by an idol worshiper, by a Gentile, her child, which is her first child, will not need to be redeemed. However, the Gemara asks, if this is the explanation you're offering to the Mishnah, in addition to Leviah, also speaks about a Kohenes. So we ask, Kohenes Pturah, would a Kohenes who is impregnated by a Gentile, would that child in fact be exempt from the need for redemption? This is the main point, and you can see we now have a bracketed section in the Gemara which takes us down to the bottom line. The bracket length indicator shows how long this section is, and you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a vertical dashed dotted line. So this issue of Kohenes, would she be exempt? Would the child be exempt if you were talking about a case of impregnation through a Gentile? It's that simply would be untrue. It wouldn't be exempt. If that be the case, then we're bringing into question the whole pshat that we gave before, namely Rav Papa's approach to Rav Ada Bar Ava is being brought into question. We see from the Mishnah that the case of impregnation through Gentile cannot be a suitable explanation. The Gemara at the bottom line will say, La'oilom di'aber mikoyen, v'hi bas Yisrael, that the case of Kohenes, in fact, is something totally different. It's talking about a case of a Kohen who impregnated a bas Yisrael. She is not a Kohenes at all. She's a bas Yisrael. She comes from a father that's a non-Kohen, not a non-Kohen, a non-Levi. And a Kohen impregnated her. And that is the point, that the father identity is enough to cause exemption from the need for redemption. The Amai Kori Lo Kohenes, the Gemara at the bottom line says, why do you call her a Kohenes when she's really a Bas Yisrael? The answer to that is Debino Kohen. Her son is a Kohen. Her son is the offspring of a father who is a Kohen. Now, in the section that we skipped, we develop the problem. And that's what we have indicated on the inside margin under there's a starred comment as to the role of these brackets. So if we just glance at the note, so Graham Lashem Dilug, the role of these brackets is for skipping purposes. Ad Kan Iker HaSheela. Up till the brackets is the main problem. The main problem was stated very briefly, Kohenes Ptura, would that be? Namely, if a Kohenes was impregnated by a Gentile, would that result in a redemption exemption? Achareim bo tshuvas ha-gemara. After the brackets comes the Gemara's response. B'soicham, within the brackets, muvah hasber latmiya Kohenes Ptura. Within the brackets, the Gemara will explain why this issue comes up, why this sense of wonderment is expressed. So now, delving into the brackets. After saying that if we were talking about a case of impregnation through Gentile, would it be true? Kohenes Ptura, v'ho'ma Rav Papa. Rav Papa tells us a story. Bodik lon Rava. Rava once tested us out. The daughter of a Kohen who became impregnated through a Gentile, what is the halacha? The Amina lay and I said to Rava, Papa is speaking, and I said to him, well, you're asking about the Kohenish Nish Abra Mevigachavim. Well, Lav Hainu de Rav Ado Bar Ava. Is this not the same as what Rav Ado introduced earlier? And here you can see we're making a reference to the fireboxed Rav Ado above. Is it not the same as what he said? The Amar Levia Shiyalda Bina Potter Mechamesh Slayim. That a Levia who has a child, the son is exempt from the need for redemption. The Omar Li and Rava said, Hochi Hashta, how can you, Rav Papa, derive the law of Kehenes, Shinis Abram, Evikachavim, from the case of Levia Shiolda? Bishlama Levia, I understand well the Levia who gave birth after being impregnated by a goy. The son is exempt. Why? Because she, the Levia, retains her Levi status. The Kedushasa, literally, in her original state of holiness, she remains. The fact that she was impregnated by a Gentile doesn't affect her Levi status. Desanya, the Braiso says, Levia shenishbeis oy shenivala b'ilaznus, a Bas Levi that was taken captive or was engaged in sexual immoral relations, Noislin lo mina meiser v'cheles, she nevertheless can still receive her Meiser tithe. By the way, when we mentioned the Be'ilaznus, we're talking about a copulation with a Gentile. So the fact that she was either a captive woman, or which we suspect that in captivity she was misused, she was had relations, intimacy with the Gentile captives, or she happened to be nivaeles through a Gentile, that nevertheless does not deprive her from continuing to benefit from the Levite tithe, the Meiser Rishon tithe, and she eats from it. Ela Kohenes, however, with regard to a Bas Kohen, Kevon de Iv Alo Lo Havya Zora, when she is copulated with a Gentile, she becomes a non-Kohenes. She loses her Kahuna status. That's what the term Zora means. She can no longer eat from the Truma tithe that Kohanim receive. So, since she becomes a Zora, why should her son be exempt from redemption? So, the Mishnah and the case of Kohenes is hard to understand if you set it up like Rav Ado's din was set up, namely, Nivalo al Yedei Akum. Well, the Gemara goes on to say, Ha Nicha Lamor Breder of Yosef Mishmei de Rava. There is actually no difficulty if you take Mor Breder of Yosef's approach. He was the second house that we saw above, who set up Rav Ado, the Aber Mi'Israel, Rav Ado's din of the Levia that's exempt, that her son is exempt from redemption, was speaking about a case where she was impregnated through a Yisrael. So Moki lo b'daber Yisrael, according to the Marburator of Yosef approach, we could set up the Mishnah also, where the impregnation was through a Yisrael, and therefore she is not considered a Zara. It doesn't make her into a Zara. It's true that she doesn't continue eating from the Truma, however, that is not a function of her being of her having copulated with a Yisrael. There are other reasons for her non-eating of Truma under those circumstances. But it's not that she becomes classified as a non Bas Kohen altogether. So the Mishnah can be set up that way. Ela l'Rav Papa, b'mai moki law. But according to Rav Papa, that originally explained Rav Ado's din of having been having had relations with a Gentile, how are you going to set up the Mishnah certainly with regard to the case of the Kohenes and explain why her son should be exempt? After all, a Kohenes that has relations with an Akum, with a Gentile, gains her status changes to one of a Zorah, and as such, her son should need to be redeemed. This, therefore, represents a challenge to Rav Papa's approach above to Rav Ada, who spoke about the Leviyah, and Rav Papa's approach to having said that the impregnation took place through a goy. The Gemara answers, Le'oilom di'aber mikoyen v'hi bas Yisrael. The case of the Kohenes in the Mishnah is different than the case of the Leviyah. As far as the case of the Leviyah, we can use the original Rav Papa explanation that if she was impregnated by a Gentile, her status doesn't change, and therefore the child is exempt by virtue of the fact that she's Leviyah, the child's exempt from redemption. However, with regard to the Kohenes, the Bas Kohen we're not talking about a Bas Kohen at all. We're talking about a Bas Yisrael. She was impregnated by a Kohen. The Amai Kori Lo Kohenes, why is she called a Kohenes when she's not the daughter of a Kohen? The answer to that is the Benot Kohen, because her son becomes considered a Kohen. Let's just glance at the Rashi at the bottom line. Le'oilom masnisin daber mikohen, avo bas kohen, delo i'aber mikohen. However, a bas kohen that's not impregnated through a kohen, lo miftara, delo azlinon bosar aim, elo the levia the aber meoyve tichavim. This idea of following the mother's status, that applies only to the case of the levia that was impregnated by a goy. But if you're dealing with an actual bas kohen, the fact that she's a bas kohen, that will not automatically create exemption according to this approach. The exemption with regard to a bas kohen would be dependent on the father, who is a kohen, and as such, when you speak about a kohenes, you can talk about a woman who herself happens to be even a bas Yisrael, and still there will be exemption. So after all is said and done, as far as the general structure of the Gemara we just did, Rav Ada bar Ava spoke about a leviyah shiolda. Rav Papa gave his explanation that the Leviyah was impregnated by a goy. We asked on Rav Papa's explanation from the Mishnah, based on which we saw that if you speak about the women becoming impregnated by a goy, it wouldn't be a sufficient reason for exemption. And we answered that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the case of the Kohenes doesn't have to present a challenge to Rav Papa's explanation. The Leviyah example can remain like Rav Papa explained, that she was impregnated by a goy and yet there is exemption. As far as the Kohenes case featured in the Mishnah, that was not talking about a Bas Kohen at all. It was talking about a Bas Yisrael whose husband happened to be a Kohen. Turning now to Amud Beis at the top, before learning the Gemara, we have a new topic on hand. You can see in the outside margin the Nosei, Kohen Shemes Viniach Ben Cholo. A Kohen who had married a forbidden woman, forbidden to Kahuna, for example, a divorcee. The child that results is called a Cholo. The Dino Kisrael, we've written in parentheses that a Cholol status is one of a non-Kohen. He has a Yisrael status. Mahu lifdeis es atzmo. Will he need to redeem himself? This is a firstborn from a Kohen who married a Grusha. Does he need to be redeemed? The Gemara. Itmar, Kohen Shemes Viniach Ben Chol, a Kohen who died, leaving a son from a forbidden marriage, and he's called a Cholo. Rav Chista Omar, HaBen Chayav Liftez Es Atzmo. This son is required to redeem himself. Rabo Bar Rav Huna Omar, Ein HaBen Chayav Liftez Es Atzmo. He does not have to redeem himself. Kol Hecho Demes Ho'av La'achar Shlishim. If we were talking about a case where the father died after the child had reached 30 days of age, 30 days is the age at which a child is redeemed. So if the father, who happened to be a Kohen, he died after the kid reached 30 days of age, dekuli alma lo pligi de'ein haben chayav liftos es atzmo. Everyone will be in agreement that the son does not have to redeem himself. Why is there no need for redemption? Sharei zocha aviv bepidyono. The father, who is a Kohen, he would have been the one to receive the money anyway. So, being that the requirement for redemption arrived in the father's lifetime, so it's as if the father received the redemption money, and therefore there's no further need for redemption. The controversy between Rav Chista and Rabbo Bar Rav Huna concerns a case where the child died, where the father died when the child was less than 30 days. So we didn't cross the redemption line, so to speak, and the father already died. Rav Chista Omar, HaBen Chayav Livdos Es Atzmoi, Daholo Zocha Oviv BePidyono. The son needs to redeem himself because the father never is said to have merited the receipt of that money. Why? Because there was no redemption obligation in the father's lifetime. He died before the son was obligated in being redeemed. Rabo Bar Rav Huna Omar, Ein HaBen Chayav Liftos Es Atzmo. Rabo says that even under these circumstances, the son does not have to redeem himself. The Omar Lei, the Cholol, can say to the Kohen who would be coming to collect the money, the Cholol's son can say, Asino, I come Mikoach Gavro de Lomotzis Lishtir Dina Bade. I'm coming from a man, from a father. My father happened to be a Kohen. It's true, my mother was a divorcee, but I'm coming from him, namely a Kohen, a person that you, Mr. New Kohen, would not have been able to argue with. That's what this expression means, you wouldn't have been able to defeat him or confront him in a court of law. Namely, had my father been around, you wouldn't have been able to deal with him, because he was a Kohen, and he would have been Zocha in it himself. I'm coming from him. I'm an extension of such a man. The Gemara now raises a question. Tanan. Nisgaira mi'uberes b'chor l'kohen. We're talking about a woman who converted while she was pregnant. A woman who never had children, and she converted while pregnant. Who impregnated her? A Gentile impregnated her. The firstborn that she has, we say, needs redemption. V'amai. Why does he need redemption? Lema lei. Let the son born from this Gioris, let him say to a Kohen who would attempt to collect the five sloyim from him, Asino, I come, Mikoyach Gabra, the Lomotzes Lishdir, Dina Bade. My father was a Gentile. Now, as such, he was a person that doesn't have the mitzvah to redeem at all. I am an extension of him. I'm coming from him. So, and yet the Mishnah says that there is a need for redemption. So apparently this argument of Asino Mikoyach Gabra, the Lomotzes Lishdir, Dina Bade is not an argument. The Gemara says it is, however, shiny oive tichovim de les lechayis. The case of a Gentile who impregnated a woman is different than the case of the Kohen who impregnated the Grusha. The Gentile who impregnated a Jewish woman has no connection. Lechayis has to do with with lineage. There's no lineage, there's no connection between him and the child that's born. Since there's no connection, the child cannot say that I'm coming from such a person. I'm not connected. He's not connected at all. However, in the case of the child who was born from a Kohen who had relations with a Grusha, there is a father-son connection. It might be a questionable type connection because the Kohen father married someone he shouldn't have impregnated, namely the divorcee, but nevertheless that is considered his father with regard to other areas of halacha, which is not the case dealing with a Gentile who impregnated a Jewish woman. Itmar, Rabbi Shimon Yasinya, Omar Rabbi Shimon Lokish, Kohen Shemes B'soich Shloishim, a Kohen who dies within 30 days of his son's birth, V'niach Ben Cholol, this Kohen happened to leave a son who was a non-Kohen, because this Kohen, as we saw above, had married a divorcee, HaBen Chayav Liftos Es Atzmoi. Why? Since the father died before the child reached 30 days of age, the father is not said to have received in your mind's eye the redemption. However, if the father, the Kohen, died after the child reached 30 days of age, the son does not have to redeem himself. The father, having been alive, the father who was a Kohen, having been alive at the point the child reached 30 days of age, is said to have received, so to speak, the money anyway. And therefore, the son does not need to be redeemed. V'chein mi shelo shuaso acharei bailo shloishu chadoshim v'chulei. Our Mishnah spoke about a woman who had been married to a man and left him, either divorced or he died, but she didn't wait the required 3 months necessary to wait between marriages. The 3 months is in order to establish whether she's pregnant or not. After 3 months we can see whether or not a woman is pregnant, and that has significance in so far as identifying the child's father. But she didn't wait the required 3 months, and then 7 months after her marriage to the second man, she bore a child. And we said that as far as the woman is concerned, it's her firstborn, so it will need to be redeemed. However, as far as Nachlo is concerned, he's not going to receive a double portion in the father's estate, because we don't know who his father is. Now, from the Mishnah, one might get the impression that it's true, he doesn't receive a double portion, but a single portion he would receive. The question then Gemara asks is, why should he receive even a single portion? He doesn't know who his father is, so that other children from those respective men could push him off and shove him off and say, hey, how can you take even a single portion with us? You're not our brother. Let's now turn to the Gemara. The Gemara asks,
after the Mishnah said that he is a Bechor L'Kohen and he's not a Bechor L'Nachla, by saying that, you're saying that he doesn't have a double portion in his father's estate. So we ask, Bechor L'Nachla hu deloy ave ha keposhet shakil. A double portion he doesn't receive, but a singular portion he would receive. Am I? Why should he receive even a singular portion in an inheritance? Let him go to the children of the first father, first man, or go to the children of the other children of the second man, and they should be able to push him away. Push him away on the claim that you're not our brother, so you don't deserve any of the inheritance of our father. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, loy nitzrucha elo lebo acharov, vehochi ko'omar. The Mishnah that says b'chor l'kayin, the eino b'chor l'nachla, is really referring to two children, as follows. Bechor l'kohen, the first one that's born from that woman who did not wait 3 months, and she bears a child 7 months after being married to the second man, we say that that child needs redemption, because either way, it's her firstborn. It's a peterechem. V'habo achrov, ein bechor l'nachla. The child that she has after this one will not be a firstborn with regard to receiving a double portion from her second husband. Why won't he receive a double portion? Why will the Bo Achrov, this second son, not receive a double portion? Well, the answer to that is because the one born before him, namely the one born after 7 months, he might be the firstborn of that second husband. And therefore the Bo Achrov, the second son, won't be a firstborn. However, that second son is clearly a member of the family of the second husband. So he will receive a singular portion. The issue of double portion is what we were focusing on. He doesn't get the extra portion as a firstborn because the one born before him may in fact be the firstborn of that second husband. The Gemara asks, why do we have to forfeit the double portion in this case? The lichtavu harshah lahadodi. Harsha is an expression that might be translated as power of attorney. Let one write over to the other a harsha. Now, what would that accomplish? If one of them approaches the family of, let's say, the second husband, he can argue as follows. Listen, if I am a firstborn, so then I, meaning the one who was born after 7 months, well then I get a double portion. If I am the firstborn, namely from the second husband. And if I'm not the firstborn from the second husband, then this other one, the Bo Achrov, is the firstborn from the second husband. So I'm coming to collect on his behalf. So why do we say in the Mishnah that concerning the woman who did not wait 3 months between marriages, the child or the birth that happens after 7 months results in a situation where there is no double portion. And we explained that no double portion is a reference to the Bo Achrov as well. Why should it be that there's no double portion? Could they not write power of attorney one to the other and claim that double portion like we described? You might say that the Mishnah is talking about a circumstance where there was no harsha written. And the Mishnah is saying that in the event that they don't write a harsha, so there is no bechor lenachla, there's no double portion. But you can't say that. Ha mukminon lo kamon de baharsha. It's a setup later that our Mishnayos that we are learning now are factoring in the writing of power of attorney. And yet, we are telling you in this Mishnah that there is no double portion that's going to be given, that's going to be paid out. Not to the first son born after her second marriage, and not to the one that comes after him either. Why is that? The Gemara answers, Messiah lei l'Rabbi Yanai. The fact that our Mishnah is talking about Harsha, and yet, in this specific case of the woman who didn't wait 3 months, there is no double portion. This supports Rav Yanai's approach. D'omar Rav Yanai, Hukru b'sof nis'arvu k'isvin Harsha zeh lo zeh. However, lo hukru ein k'isvin Harsha zeh lo zeh. This whole concept of writing Harsha, writing over power of attorney, that is true in a case where at some point in time the child could be identified with its parent. And the case that Rav Yanai is addressing, Rashi elaborates on, is a case of two women that had children from two husbands respectively, and they then got mixed up. And we're not going to get into the details, but it's a different case. But in the case of the writing of Harsha, there had to be a point in time where the child could be identified with the parent. However, and that's what we mean by hukru, they were identifiable, and then ulbasof nisarvo, and then there was a mix-up. However, in a case where there was never a case of hukru, like in our case, the child born after 7 months with the second husband, we never knew who his father really was. So being that there was never a point in time where there was recognition, therefore, under this case specifically, you could not have written a harsha. Harsha could not have been written. And that's why our Mishnah says there is no Bechor L'Nachla. So our Mishnah supports Rav Yanai's contention that under circumstances of Lo Hukru, a harsha could not be written. Before going on to the new Mishnah, we have a topic heading. In the outside margin, we feature Bechor L'Nachlo L'Kohen. Our Mishnah will speak about a Bechor, a child having Bechor status, both with regard to receiving a double portion and with regard to the need for redemption. And later we will see a Machloikis between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, with regard to a woman that bears a child through a cesarean section and the child that she has afterwards in a normal birth. The Mishnah. What is an example of a, we'll call it double Bechor? This of course is a Mishnah that's coming to explain the first Mishnah in the Perek that listed four different circumstances, and one of them was a Bechor L'Nachlo L'Kohen. So what is intended by that title of a Bechor L'Nachlo L'Kohen? So the Mishnah lists a series of different circumstances, but at the end of three, four lines later, you will see the Mishnah says Habo Achrayin Bechor L'Nachlo L'Kohen. So we're going to set up cases where the first that which emerges from the woman, her first, we'll call it emission or exit, is something that we cannot classify as a human being. And hence, that which comes afterwards is her first real birth. Hamapeles has to do with a miscarriage. But what does she miscarry? Hamapeles, shvir mole mayim, mole dam, mole geninim. She miscarries a Mishfir is, we see in Rashi, or Havlad Mamash. It's the skin that would be the skin that forms an embryo, and it's full of either water, full of dam, blood, or full of gininim, some tissue material of many of different colors. Hamapelas kemin dogim v'chagovim shkotzer mosim, or she miscarries some form that looks like a fish, or a chagov, a grasshopper, shkotzer mosim, other types of creepy crawly creatures. Hamapelas liyom arboim, or she miscarries after 40, or within 40 days, or on day 40. A miscarriage on day 40 of her pregnancy. In other words, a woman who had relations with a man, and 40 days later she experiences some type of miscarriage, but it's on day 40. Habo achareihem, a normal birth that she has after any of these events, b'chor l'nachlu l'kayin, is a full-fledged firstborn, both with regard to receiving a double portion and with regard to the need for redemption. Yoitza doifen vabo achrov, a woman who has a cesarean birth, and bo achrov is her second son that comes out normally. Shnehen einon b'chor, both of them have no b'chor status, lo l'nachlo v'lo l'kayin, not with regard to receiving double portion, nor with regard to redemption need. Reb Shimon Omer, harishon l'nachlo, the first one, this is the C-section birth, will receive a double portion. Vasheni l'chomesh shloim, and the second one will be in need of redemption. And now the Gemara goes over these cases with an explanation. So first the Gemara explains the Tanakhama, and a few lines later you see a framed section. That's a quote from Reb Shimon. The Gemara continues now, explaining the Tanakhama, Rishon, which was the Yotze Doifen, Lenachlo Loi, does not receive a double portion, V'yoldu Loi Bo'inon. The pasuk that deals with Nachlos, that deals with inheritance, says V'yoldu Lo, and it's Mashma, that implies that the child is born Derech Leida, through the birth canal, normal birth process, and not a C-section. So that if it's not through a normal birth process, there won't be a double portion. Likewise, L'chomesh Shloim Nami Loi, the first one born, namely the C-section child, is not going to need to be redeemed. Peter Rechem Bo'inon, it must be the first to emerge from the womb, not through the side of the woman's body, through a C-section. Sheni l'nachloloi, the second child born, which in effect is the first to emerge through the rechem, will not receive a double portion. Reishis oinoi bo'inon. In order for a child to warrant receiving a double portion, it has to be reishis oinoi, the first one, the first child over which he would feel a sense of remorse if it were to die. But the Shani in this case was preceded by another child that this man has, although born through C-section, that the second one is not the first that would have resulted in remorse. L'chomesh shloim nami loi, as far as the second child who is the first to emerge through the womb is not going to need redemption. Kosovar b'chor l'dover echad lo havi b'chor. A child that has firstness, but only with regard to one aspect, is not considered a b'chor. In order to be considered a b'chor for redemption purposes, you have to be an all-around b'chor, an all-around firstborn. But in this case, since it would be considered a b'chor only with regard to redemption, and not with regard to receiving a double portion, so that even though it's the first to emerge through the birth canal, it nevertheless does not warrant or require redemption, because it's called a b'chor l'dover echad. Reb Shimon Omer, harishon l'nachlo, v'asheni l'chomesh shloim. Reb Shimon, we saw in the Mishnah, says that the first one, in this case it was a C-section, he will receive a double portion. And the second one, which is the first child to be born through the birth canal, will need to be redeemed. Reb Shimon Letame, Reb Shimon here is consistent with what he has said elsewhere, the Omar, he has already said elsewhere, Pelaid. This is a quote from the Pasuk. The Pasuk Rashi features, V'im Nikeva Teleid, that word Teleid is L'rabois Yoitzadoifen, that a child born through a C-section is considered a birth with regard to all halachas pertaining to birth. For example, halachas of Yemei Tuma and Tara, and being that that's the case, it's considered a birth with regard to receiving a double portion as a firstborn. So that a Yotze Dofen is included as being considered a birth, and this is, we can say, is his, Rav Shimon's response to what the Tanakhama said of V'yoldulo. So the word Teleid brings the Yotze Dofen into the category of V'yoldulo. This point you can see illustrated by Rashi as well, three lines from the bottom, where Rashi says, Hilkoch gabi v'yoldulunami leidu ma'al yachoshiv lei degamrinon mehasam. V'yoldulo was the expression that the Torah used in the case of inheritance. So from the fact that with regard to Tuma v'tara, Rav Shimon says the Yitzidofen has the dinim of Yoledes, she has to observe the days of purity, of ritual impurity of purity, and that's derived from Pelaid. So the expression V'yoldulo that you find by inheritance will include the Yotze Dofen as well. So he becomes someone that's worthy of receiving a double portion. V'hasheni L'chomesh Shleim, Reb Shimon says that the second child, which is the first one to emerge through the Rechem, will need to be redeemed. Kosovar, Reb Shimon is of the opinion, B'chor L'dover Echor Havei B'chor, a Bechor with regard to one aspect. In this case, he is a Bechor with regard to wombs, through emerging through birth. He is the first to emerge through the Rechem. He is considered a Bechor, even though it's a Bechor only with regard to that. It's not a Bechor L'nachlo. Nevertheless, that's enough to categorize it as a Bechor, and hence needing to be redeemed. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.